Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Damn it, front three. Bam! Somebody tell him he's a rookie.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Jesse Cass and Alex Ack are back with you here. My man Ack back from vacation. Alex, what's going on? How was the vacay?
Man, it's awesome, man. I look a little bit golden with this tan right now out here. I get this Italian sun. Soaking it up, man. These rays are doing your man justice right now. So I'm looking good right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I can't imagine a better place to be, you know, kicking back for some playoff basketball now than to be, like you said, soaking in the rays. So, you know, a little bit jealous over here.
No problem, yeah. I'll save some for you, man.
All right.
Really locked into what's going on. Saw a lot of highlights, and Instagram's doing an excellent job of keeping me updated, so I'm pretty much locked into the game for sure.
Yeah, and as we sit now, you know, we're recording this here on a Saturday in between games 3 and 4. 2-1 lead for the Clippers now, bouncing back with a game 3 win, 130-122. So before we dive into Game 3 in particular, just what are your impressions of the series so far? Obviously, the Clippers, you know, taking Game 1, losing Game 2, bouncing back in Game 3. Just what have you seen from them thus far that has stood out to you?
Man, it's been going neck and neck for sure. We talked about it earlier, how dominant these guys are with the ball on the offensive end and fast break and transition and stuff like that. And shooting it from the stars, you know what I mean? These guys put up a high velocity of points, and it's unmatchable sometimes, the speed that they go at and the pace that they go at, you know. And I think a better chance than any would be the Los Angeles Clippers to give them a run for their money for sure.
Yeah, and obviously the Clippers, you know, the favorite team in this. We know Dallas has had a historic offense. We've seen that on display, and you know, it's been entertaining. And I thought that in Game 3 in particular, was really the first game that we saw the Clippers kind of look like what we really expect them to be. You know, we saw it in spurts in Games 1 and 2, but yeah. Really in Game 3, I thought they imposed their will defensively from the beginning. Obviously still a high-scoring game, but a much stronger effort defensively. And really, attention to detail, focus, you could tell was at another level for them compared to what we saw in the first two games.
Yeah, for sure. They were attack mode for sure. They're going at their chest, you know what I mean? They know these guys are shooters, and from my understanding that I've played the game for a long, high level, and shooters tend to not want to get touched, you know what I mean? They don't want to get bodied. They don't want to get touched coming off screens. They want to have their feet set, knocking down shots. So it goes hand-in-hand on defense as well. Like, they don't want to get, you know, hitting their chest, so they're kind of giving up their shoulders, trying to play defense, and that's not working. Because they're getting bumped off position from Porzingis. You know, he's playing the five position on the other end of the floor, and it's not working. He's got to come out and guard these guys, and they're going right at him. You know what I mean? It's breakfast line on the line. So it's helping for the Clippers right now, and I see that Dallas is trying to make a transition, especially in the fourth quarter. They were trying to go zone, and it didn't help. You know, was too late at that time.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be the thing that stands out the most. You know, obviously we said defense is key for this Clippers team, especially against such a good offensive team in Dallas. But, you know, you look at the other end where there's really no answer. I'm not sure a lot of teams have answers, but Dallas definitely has no answer for Kawhi Leonard, who has been just on another level completely. You know, he's had back-to-back games of, you know, 35 and 36 points, get into his spots at will, you know, playing at his pace. Despite everything going on around him, and he has just been dominant in this first couple of games.
For sure, yeah. And the best thing about Kawhi is that he gets to the free throw line, you know what I mean? So he's putting the other people in defensive situations where they're going to be in foul trouble, you know what I mean? So he's going at your big, he's going at your guard, he's posting guys up, and he's getting to his spots, you know? So that's where he's comfortable at. And he has the lost trait of basketball that he perfects very well is that 15-foot mid-range game, you know what I mean? So when he gets to those spots and executes at a high level, it's lights out for sure.
And it's just really amazing to watch because, you know, like obviously, as you said, Dallas, you know, they got a couple wing defenders, but they're a little too small for Kawhi. They've been going with Maxi Kleba, who has actually done, you know, a decent job. He's taller than Kawhi, but even with that, Kawhi's just so much stronger. He can back him down to work his spot, get there, like you said, get in the mid-range and just kind of do his work regardless of who's guarding him. And over and over and over again, he's not only scoring but also setting up his teammates. You know, whenever they come with help, he's making the right play every single time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And he's patient. Guy at that size, you know, you would think he would play with one attribute as far as putting his head down and just running over people. But he shoots at a high level, so it's like it's hard to guard this guy with, you know, with the IQ of actually finding his players and getting them in the sweet spots. A couple of times he's hitting people, you know, playing the point guard position, Shamit for, you know, turnouts on 3-point position. So it goes hand in hand where you can't really zone in on him because other guys are making huge plays as well too.
Yeah, and it's great obviously bringing up Shamit. And you know, that was one of the big adjustments that Doc Rivers made from games 1 and 2 to game 3. You know, we know Patrick Beverley, who's so important to this team, is still out with that calf injury. Doc made the move to, you know, put Landry Shamit in the starting lineup, move Reggie Jackson to the bench, and Shamit responded big time, had a huge game, 18 big points, time. Played great defense, and really seemed like he meshed well with the starting unit, ended up getting a lot of the closing crunch time minutes as well. He was a huge factor in that win for the Clippers.
Yeah, he is, man. He has a lot of energy, and it shows on the court. And he's definitely on the scouting radar right now where they have to lock in and figure out how to stop this guy, you know. Coming off the bench, he didn't have the minutes that he needed to perform like this. Now he's, 27 minutes now, and he's effective, 18 points, and it's good, man. It's good for the Clippers to not lose what they had and actually gain more of an offensive presence besides Pat Beverley, you know, not playing.
Yeah, it's more of a natural fit, right, with the starters. We know Reggie Jackson is, you know, a talented guy and a scorer, but just for what this starting unit is looking to do, you know, Shamit, you know, he's more of a runoff screens, catch and shoot, you know, catch and go type of guy, whereas we talked about it a little bit before we started recording. Jackson needs the ball in his hands more, which isn't really as conducive to the starting unit. And you throw in the, you know, the important added bonus of Shamit just being better and more aware defensively than Jackson is. It was evident in this game from the start that their defense was more locked in than it was in game 2.
Yeah, for sure. And don't get me wrong, Shamit is a great shooter, but he could put it on the floor. I think that third quarter he turned that corner and banged on Porzingis. It was nasty, man. That was impressive. I mean, to see that.
It was actually on our old friend Boban, who was even taller than Porzingis.
That's even worse.
But no, that was one of those moments, man. Just watching it where out loud, it's like, oh, I didn't know. You know, we've seen Shamit dunk every now and again, but didn't know he had that to go up top on Boban. That was something.
With two hands, you got to go hard, for sure. Especially with a man like that, Andre the Giant type, you got to go hard. You can't go soft at all, for sure,
Yeah, and that was another big adjustment, too, was, you know, game 2, Boban, as we've seen, which, you know, throughout his career and with his time with the Clippers a couple of years ago, You know, when he is effective, he's extremely effective, and he had a huge game too. And we saw that was another adjustment from Doc Rivers and the Clippers coaching staff. They kind of matched the minutes of Zubats with Boban rather than having the much smaller Montrez on him, and that made a big difference. And Zubats played a lot more, and he was tremendous in that game as well, and that adjustment really paid off.
Yeah. He had a couple of steals, a couple of blocks from him, and the transition flowed well with that, you know, because a guy that size cannot get back in transition if you turn the ball over, you know, so that helped a lot for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've seen it, and we talked when we had, you know, Andrew Greif of the LA Times on a couple of times, just kind of the ever-growing importance of Zubats, and, you know, it's really evident how much better the defense is when he's on the floor, and we saw him get rewarded with, you know, 30 minutes last night, 15 points. You know, for such a generic-looking big man, he moves extremely well defensively, out on the perimeter, near the basket. He's really been a huge factor for them, and I think we're starting to see the trust factor with him more with the coaching staff that he's now finally getting some of these crunch time minutes as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, he's efficient. You know what I mean? The very game where he had an outburst and he was perfect. I don't know what.
Yeah, 10 for 10.
10 for 10, yeah. Now, what did he do now? Like 6 for 8.
So yeah.
He's definitely efficient, and that's what they need for that, for those minutes and for that position, just to be efficient as possible and take what the defense gives you. You know, you're around great players that can contribute, do the dirty work, pick up the slack, get rebounds, have 6 rebounds. So he's doing his job at a higher level too as well.
Yeah, I mean, really the only place which understandably he might struggle a little bit is really just kind of that unique matchup of Porzingis, where Porzingis will step out and shoot a 30-footer. But, you know, that's tough for any big man to get out to. But in terms of covering the pick and roll and, you know, really challenging Luka Doncic at the basket, he did a tremendous job of, you know, reading those screen rolls and being able to protect the rim, you know, with great efficiency for the Clippers in that game.
Yeah. Luka Doncic, he's a pro's pro, man. So it's hard to stop him. I think he had a sluggish game, and, you know, with that being said, I think he had a lack of, ankle mobility. He twisted his ankle, like you said earlier. So that kind of played in a role for the Clippers at that point, you know, to get that win for sure. So going to see how long that's going to last next game, if he's going to be able to play moving forward. But, he started off slow, and then, we didn't wait to him get his rhythm from Luka. Did a great job, Morris picking him up 24 feet of the court, making sure that he exerted all his energy, just turning him on, you know, bringing the ball up and stuff like that, and getting the ball out of his hands as much as possible. So it helped this game. Those little things are huge for sure, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you alluded to it a little bit there, but what was the biggest difference from the way they covered him in the first two games to the third, where, you know, some of it's obviously him missing shots, but, you know, 42 points in game one, you know, dropped another 29 in game two, and then, as you said, this one, just 13 points, 4-14 from the field. What was the biggest difference in your estimation of how they covered him to make him, you know, really earn and struggle for those points in game three?
It goes hand in hand for sure. If you're scoring at that level, you kind of think that you have the magic hand for sure, and you're not prepared for something that's going to change, and you think you're going to have that same, you know, outburst of games. So it kind of was shocking when they put a little bit more emphasis on him and put a bigger body such as his size, as Morrison, to pick him up and actually turn him, you know. So Morrison did a great job exerting his energy on defense, which helped, you know, his offense as well. So we didn't need Morris to get, you know, go crazy, but, you know, he did a great job on defense, 14 points on offense, and that was the biggest thing. You know, a guy like Doncic, it's going to be hard to stop him on a one-on-one basis. He'll get to his spots, big guard, he can spin off you, he does a lot of things. Second game, he did that with Pat Beverly. He was trying to pick him up and try to turn him, and he's just too small, you know what I mean? So putting a big body on him really helped for sure. And that was the most important key. You can't stop both of these guys, Porzingis and Doncic. You can try to limit one. Porzingis had an out crazy game, 11 for 18, 34 points. So it was in their favor to figure out who they're going to stop for sure.
Yeah, and Marcus Morris, as you alluded to, has been tremendous in this series. And it's funny because it's almost on cue. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago, as we said, to Andrew Greif, and, you know, that was one of the main things he was looking for, was if Morris could find his rhythm.
Yeah.
He started finding it at the end of the seeding games in the bubble, and he's been tremendous in the playoffs. You know, of course, never afraid to mix it up and get physical. And then on top of that, just playing good basketball on both ends of the floor. Instead of making three-point shots, creating as another ball handler, and, of course, the defense. He's done a great job.
Great job, yeah. Hats off to that guy for sure. Efficiency was off the charts.
Did somebody say playoffs? The NBA, MLB, and NHL are in full swing, and our partners at Bet Online have you covered. Whether you're like Charles Barkley and you want to bet the 8 seed for a sweep, or you want to go with a little bit safer bet, doesn't matter. BetOnline has you covered. Take full advantage of sports being back and get in on the action with hundreds of odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And there is always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and sign up to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. And we know that, you know, obviously Kawhi has been dominant. We talked about Morris, Shamit, a lot of guys shooting it well. One guy who is not is Paul George, who, of course, is subject to a lot of scrutiny. He's had two really bad shooting games. He has, you know, played well in other areas, rebounded the ball well, assisted well, defended well. But, you know, I've asked you about this before in the past, since you're a shooter. But when you're in a slump like that, what does it take to kind of reset your mind, and especially in a playoff scenario now, to kind of get out of your head and just let the ball fly with confidence, which clearly Paul George is struggling with a little bit right now?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think the biggest key that Paul George has, which is a blessing, is that he has a lot of cast that actually can pick up the slack, you know what I mean? Even if he's going to slump, they don't need him to be the Paul George of the Pacers to actually dominate at a high level. Yes, they do. But at this particular time, they didn't, and other guys stepped up. So that kind of gives you a lot of pressure relieved off of you if you're having a bad game and you're winning. So that's a win-win, you know what I mean? So you just got to turn it around and just actually get some extra rest and forget about this game. Great thing about this whole situation is you're not traveling, so you got fresh legs coming into the game, the next game. And it's you know, the ball's in your hand. These shots that you're taking, you make these shots every day, you know, so you just gotta just clear your head, don't worry about other things, you know what I mean, and just focus on the game ahead that's coming in next game. So I think that's the biggest thing, because he's been dominating, he's been a hell of a job, you know. So we're gonna see what happens next. I'm pretty sure, I know for a fact he's gonna come in and be a little bit more aggressive, get into the free throw line first and not just settling for threes, because you know, eight threes, which he normally shoots, you know, is a lot, especially in the slump of trying to get your game back by shooting eight threes. You got to get to the basket, you got to get fouled, you got to see that ball going that hole a lot more and slow down the tempo and the pace so you can actually get your rhythm into the flow of the game.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think, you know, as you said, the three-point shot still has to be a part of his game, but, you know, like you said, the ability to get a layup, get to the line, see the ball go in a couple times, and then, you know, step back out and expand that range would definitely help him out. And I think for Paul George, it's just kind of letting go of a lot of the distractions. You know, obviously there was the whole Instagram beef with Damian Lillard, and then he put up a post after, you know, after his game two struggles when they lost, about, you know, kind of not caring about the critics. And it's clear he's just, you know, letting this stuff affect him a little too much. And you can see it on the court normally, where especially what makes him so great, he's so smooth and can just get to wherever he wants. You see him kind of overthinking his own moves and just being kind of a step behind in his own head. So I think it's just for him kind of letting go of that as well, and just playing the game, letting it come to him rather than trying to force it.
I think that's the key right there for sure. Like you said, it's bigger than basketball. They do these things, they do this for a living, for free. Before the NBA. So that comes natural. I think there's a lot of things that play into it now. You're not with your family. You're not, you know what I mean? You don't have your routine, your normal routine. You're not in your own bed. These things, you're in this room that you're quarantined or whatever for a long time waiting just to play basketball. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of factors that go into this. And then you get to Twitter thumbs or IG thumbs and you're just like lost in the transition and trying to get beef and doing all this other crazy stuff, you know? So sometimes you got to put that stuff down and just focus on, you know, recouping yourself, watching the game that you struggled in and the footwork that needs to be taking place to move forward.
Yeah, so we'll see if we can do that in game four. And, you know, looking forward to game four. You mentioned it already. You know, Luka Doncic is questionable to play, so that's obviously a huge factor, you know, in the potential, a huge game. But what do you think the Clippers need to do, regardless of if Doncic is there or not, to really take a firm grasp on this series? Because it's a real opportunity, you know, to go up 3-1 would pretty much put you in the big time driver's seat compared to, you know, letting it get to 2-2. I think it's a real chance for the Clippers to, as we said, get a real hold on this series.
Yeah, I think, to be honest and keep it short and simple, they got to do the exact same thing. They got to hit the glass. They got to rebound like they did. And they just got to really attack the basketball and put their heads down. I remember you said before the podcast, Doc Rivers did a great job, right? And actually playing these guys too as well.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but the additional minutes for Zubats and the move to put Shamit in and play him at more minutes, I think, you know, the focus on the defensive side of the ball. You know, the Clippers clearly are going to be able to score. They put up 130. They have so much talent on that end, but you know, not necessarily taking guys out of the rotation, but switching the minutes a little bit in favor of Shamit over Jackson, obviously Zoo over Trez, who's still working his way back. Just putting more of an emphasis on the defensive side of the ball, I think, is going to be a big time factor for them, especially in this particular series against, you know, like you said, an outside shooting team like Dallas, where they really like to move the ball and hit from deep.
Yeah. You got to have your runners for sure. Runners got to run with runners and stuff. So you got to put Patterson to the side, Joakim Noah to the side, you know what I mean? These old guys that don't have the fresh legs to actually get out there and compete. So rest these guys for the time being. They're going to be more efficient, you know, and ready to go for other games like this besides this one. So Doc Rivers did a great job playing the guys that can actually, you know, compete with these guys. And they're a fast-break team, the Dallas is, and the Clippers are as well. So they got to be able to match that energy and speed more than anything.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, matching it and just putting forth the, you know, the effort in individual defense. Of course, you know, the rotations and everything are extremely important, but, you know, that was one of the most obvious glaring differences from Game 2 to Game 3. You know, Game 2, you expect guys like Luka Doncic to be able to get to the basket, but, you know, we saw, you know, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Seth Curry get by their defenders and get to the rim at will, where normally their game is on the perimeter, catch and shoot, and not being able to blow by guys. And I think in Game 3 we saw, you know, just more effort and more pride in the one-on-one defense and keeping those guys from getting past and getting into the lane and, you know, starting a lot of that dribble penetration that caused so many issues in Game 2.
Yeah. Although Steph Curry had a crazy game.
He had another great game, yeah.
He's definitely a Curry, man, 9 for 11. He's cooking, man, so...
Yeah, I mean the genes in that family. You know, I'm sure a lot of the younger people don't even know that Dell, the father, was an amazing shooter, and now you got the two sons, you know, just lighting it up all over the court.
Yeah, please go back and look at Dell, man. He was a sleeper, man, and probably didn't have the range that these guys have, but I mean, he would turn that corner and knock that shot down with a blink of an eye. You know what I mean? With no hesitation, and. Yeah, it just rubbed off on these guys, you know, so they definitely have the magic dust of putting the ball in the hole from anywhere of the court. So, yeah, he's cooking right now.
He's been incredible. And, you know, this is obviously a hypothetical. You know, Doncic, as we said, is questionable. I think it'd be tough for him to come back in that quick a turnaround. But, you know, saying he does not play in Game 4, how does that affect the game plan for the Clippers, who, of course, you know, taking a lot of talent off the court? But we saw in Game 2, you know, he was out with foul trouble for a while, and Dallas actually extended their lead in that time. So How do you not take the Mavericks lightly and adjust your game plan if Doncic doesn't play in game four?
That's a good question. Oh, man. I think the biggest thing right now is Doncic is he's a triple threat guy. You know what I mean? So he's doing assists, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. So these things and factors, somebody else has to pick up for sure. And it also gives you the advantage to get more rebounds, you know what I mean, and get more stops because he's dominating the ball. So I would just put more pressure on the perimeter and lock into these guys like T. Burks and Curry and Hardaway a little bit more if Doncic doesn't play, and actually post these guys up because these are small guards as well that I'm talking about. So it'd be a little bit more patience now. I think it'd be more of a Clipper basketball where you're actually playing to my rhythm now, where we got big guards, we're posting you up a little bit more and getting you guys in foul trouble now, you know, because it goes hand in hand. Like you have to guard somebody at the other end. Burks is a small guard. You got to guard somebody. Curry's a small guard. So if you help it, we got shooters from left and right that knock down shots too as well. So patience is the biggest thing right now for the Clippers that's going to happen. Not rushing it and letting them come to them and making the right reads.
And that's another thing I thought they did really well in Game 3 in particular is, you know, the guys you mentioned kind of going at them and making them either, you know, really work defensively or force help where they could kick out to open shooters. Or in the case of Doncic as well, you know, he has such a load on him to carry the weight with a high usage rate. They've been pretty much going at him or putting him in pick and rolls or in the post every single time that they can. We saw Jermichael Green get a couple buckets in the post on him.
Yeah.
We saw, them getting Doncic switched out on the perimeter on either, you know, Kawhi or Lou, and just kind of going at him and making him work defensively, which, you know, could play into some of the poor shooting numbers for Doncic of just, you know, trying to tire him out essentially by making him work on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah, it's true. They're doing the perfect job. Yep, that's definitely true.
All right, so if you had to give us keys for Game 4, what are your three keys for the Clippers to to take a 3-1 lead and try to, as we said, get a firm grasp on this series and, take control?
Oh, man, I think the three keys are actually just not settling for the open three-point. You can have an advantage of actually attacking these guys from the perimeter, drawing their bigs out if they're going to play these bigs. Most importantly is just being efficient a lot more on the glass and second chance shots, and that's going to be really huge for them. And really slowing down and transition a little bit more, not rushing it and making sure you're getting the shots that you need. So those are the main keys, I would say, for sure. Just actually playing Clipper basketball a little bit more paceful and efficient, making sure they pay at the other end of the floor, Dallas, on defense.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to what hopefully is a good game four for the Clippers as they try to really take command of the series. Before we wrap up, Alex, obviously playoffs going on around the league. What else has caught your eye, surprised you from the series going on outside of the Clippers series? You know, we got, of course, Portland and the Lakers 1-1. Utah with a 2-1 lead over Denver, a little bit of surprise there. Just what have you seen from the rest of the playoff basketball around the NBA?
Yeah, I think more than anything, everybody's all the eyes are on the Lakers and the Portland derby right now. I think that's the most exclusive thing that everybody's looking for. I think your guy Charles Barkley said it was going to be a sweep after game one. You're a fool for saying that, Charles, because you got one of the best players in the league, if not, you know, in the world, on the court. So that's a stupid remark to say that. But then again, that's one game that you definitely want to tune in and don't miss, can record for sure.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Portland with the big game one win, the Lakers responded big time with a blowout win in game two. So that's been a really entertaining series. I think people feel similar about both series with the Clippers and the Lakers, that, you know, two super talented teams that they're facing in Portland and Dallas with great offenses. But I think, you know, if both the Clippers and Lakers lock in, they have the ability to really defend where Dallas and Portland are, you know, not very good on that end of the floor. So, you know, if the focus is there, both those teams should, in theory, be able to take care of business.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Another team is the Miami Heat as well. And I think that's a good matchup too as well. They put a lot of emphasis on that. And so I like those matchups for sure in the East. One team that's struggling right now is the 76ers, which is a slump. I thought they were really going to be, you know, getting revenge from what happened to them in the playoffs. So they're trying to figure it out as well. Hopefully they'll figure it out sooner than later.
Yeah, they gave away that game three, and that, you know, of course no one has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. So it's they're up against it now, and of course already missing Ben Simmons. It's looking dire for Philadelphia for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, good basketball, man. I think the commissioner said it himself. He said it's great to see basketball at this level right now. I think the biggest thing is that these guys aren't traveling, so they have their legs, and it's really good to see them competing at a high level like this and, you know, for the same goal of trying to be a champion, no matter what circumstances it is. So we're getting a chance to see a great basketball, a group of guys, and hats off to these guys going at it, man. For real, they're going at it for sure at a high level.
Yeah, the basketball has been amazing, and you know, I said hats off to the guys for the incredible competition, and hats off again to the league where, you know, another week gone by and again zero positive tests. So you know, the bubble has been working, and it's great to see.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
All right, so we'll look forward to a game four on Sunday afternoon, and we'll be back to break that one down as well and see how the Clippers progress in the series. But Alex, thanks as always for talking some Clipper basketball.
No, for sure. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jess.
So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple. 5 stars is always appreciated. And you can find us wherever podcasts are found as well. You can also go to Believe.com for not only this show, but hundreds of other shows here on Believe. So with that said, we'll look forward to game 4 between the Clippers and the Mavs, 12:30 p.m. tip Sunday on ABC. See if the Clippers can try to take a 3-1 lead and prevent Dallas from tying it up 2-2. So we'll talk to you again. We'll have a reaction pod on Monday to talk about game 4 and look forward to game 5, which will be on Tuesday as well. So we'll be back very soon here on the Believe Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in once again. Here on the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network and the only place for the show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.